Hey there, cats and kittens. Nope, not doing that.
That was a bad choice.
I don't know how to be a 1950s radio disc jockey.
Hallie.
Don't you Hallie me.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little sad.
Why are you a little bit sad?
Because this is our semi-series finale.
Wow. What a run it's been.
It's been a great run. We've been doing this for what? This is our 53rd cult?
I think so.
Yeah, that's nothing to sneeze at. That's over a year of cults.
It is over a year of cults.
We've been doing this for about two years.
A little over a year and a half. Yeah, I was going to say over...
September of 2016, I think, is when we started. Because our college graduation is mere days away, and we're moving to different states.
Yes. So sad. However, we will, of course, our paths will cross again. There will be... you know, like a lovely Christmas episode or something.
We have not been able to shake each other for 16 years.
Yes, so we're not about to make a habit of it.
This will not be the last time you hear from us, but the episodes will be getting more sporadic.
And by more sporadic, just don't hold your breath.
Yes, just treat it as a, it's great if it happens sort of thing.
Yes, yes,
exactly. Sort of like when you see a shooting star.
Yes.
Like, you're not expecting it, but then it just sort of happens. What I'm saying is I'm a shooting star. All right, we got the mush out of the way for now. Let's talk about our cult of the week.
Okie dokie.
So this was, again, recommended by the FB group. You guys are champions.
Y'all are champions. I only hope you continue to grow and flourish and nourish each other.
Exactly.
I have always wanted to use the words flourish and nourish in the same sentence.
Well, now you did, you goddamn hippie. This is the Church of Wells is what we're talking about today.
Hallie, when you first told me it was called the Church of Wells, I immediately assumed it had something to do with the Wells Fargo people.
See, when I heard Church of Wells, I thought of Wells Cathedral in England, which is like a really enormous, beautiful church. It was actually in the movie Hot Fuzz, and it killed several people in that movie.
Oh, yes, I do recall.
I only know that because I was with a group that went to go see Wells Cathedral, and someone went to a pub down the street and came back screaming, "This is where they shot Hot Fuzz."
Amazing.
It was very exciting. This is not related to Wells Fargo or Wells Cathedral. It's called the Church of Wells because it is located in Wells, Texas.
Yes, and it was named for Major E.H. Wells, who was a civil engineer for the railroad that was built there during the 19th century.
The town was. The church.
Yes.
The church was named after the town because these people are not creative.
Yes. Yeah, well, we will get into what these fucking people are.
It was formerly called the Church of Arlington and the You Must Be Born Again Ministries, or YMBBA Ministries, which you can't even say. It's not a word.
That sounds like a weird record label that all the young kids are listening to that I know nothing about.
Yeah, I like how you said record label, too.
You know? Yeah.
Are we going to play some cool 8-tracks? Yeah. And I liked that you thought it sounded young because this is a millennial-run cult, y'all.
Oh, yes it is.
Are the millennials killing the cult industry?
Oh, Hallie. If anything, the millennials are just making the cult industry better.
I think
so. And weirder.
But it is very much a millennial thing to constantly be rebranding and changing the name of the cult.
Millennials love their branding. There are three key players here.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Morris, Jacob Gardner, and Ryan Ringnald.
All still in their 20s.
Yes.
Late 20s. Thing is super weird. Today I found out the actor Tom Holland, who plays Spider-Man, like the 17th carnation or whatever they have of him, is actually older than me.
Really?
Which seemed very wrong to me because that is...
He looked about 16.
He looks like a baby. Like, I have pretty serious baby face, but that is someone who should not have been born in the 20th century. Anyway, so they're just a few years older than us, and in 2004, Morris and Ringnald met when they were freshmen at Baylor University.
Where is Baylor University?
It's also in Texas.
Alrighty, good times.
This is a Texas-focused cult.
Okay, yeah. Great. So Sean Morris, he was majoring in religion, and people noticed him. People definitely noticed him. His classmates noticed him. He would stand in the quad on a milk crate and yell at random people to come to him and come to Jesus and confess their sins.
You know, that's just normal college behavior. You got the guy playing Wonderwall. You got the guy smoking pot on his deck. You got the guy yelling about Jesus.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would give me a lot of anxiety if I walked past that on a campus.
The Texas Monthly did this incredible series of reports that I got a lot of my information from, very in-depth. But they interviewed one of his former classmates, Robert Reed, who just had the funniest stuff to say about him. He said that when he first met Morris, when he transferred to Baylor a few years later, Morris ran up to him, like, on the street on campus and asked how much he hated himself. And he's like, what do you mean? He said, well, you have to hate yourself to accept Jesus as your savior.
I mean, I could see that being the case.
Yeah, I mean, it's, to shit on my own upbringing again a little bit, it's a very much a Catholic sensibility.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That it's, a lot of it is based on, like, you are a garbage person compared to Jesus Christ.
Of course, of course.
And I think it's why a lot of people who are Catholic have self-esteem problems.
Well, it's the Catholic guilt.
It's the Catholic
guilt.
Well,
it's not entirely the Catholic guilt, but it definitely feeds into that. They want you to hate yourself as much as possible, so you turn to...
So you spend all your time trying to make it up to Jesus.
Exactly.
Now, this kid clearly doesn't hate himself, but he wants everybody else to hate themselves so they'll come to him.
Do you not think he hates himself?
I think he has a very solid front if he really does hate himself, because he seems like he thinks he is God's chosen guy on earth.
I guess a lot of cult leaders are not really hating themselves. They're just kind of the ones who think they're the shit.
And if you think you're the shit, it's going to be easier for other people who have no self-esteem to flock to you.
He probably did hate himself and then, like, in his fucking weird-ass mind, figured out that this was the right way to be, quote-unquote, and then now thinks that he's the shit because of his craziness.
Another classmate said that he always picked out these very specific verses about fire and brimstone.
Great.
When he was reading out. He had nothing about the let's all love each other bit. It was always hell.
Not really rifling through the New York Times.
The clobber verses. We got the fire. We got the slave verses. Like, it's a mess.
No. Sean Morris, not the world's greatest student. He would not study for his classes and instead would spend that time just sitting in his closet, Hallie. Hallie, he just sat there.
And prayed.
He prayed and he prayed in his closet.
See, I actually used to sit in my closet a lot when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. How old?
Maybe like 7 to 13.
Okay.
And it was because I shared a room with my sister, and I didn't get any space of my own.
Right.
So I would go sit in our closet and I would slam the door shut.
Sure.
And I would just, like, sit there until I was calm.
You used it as a mechanism to, like, kind of remove yourself from the situation, have your own space. He would just sit in his closet, not study, not, you know, take any care for his classes or his grades or academia.
However,
yes.
When he went to class, he was also not very popular.
Oh my lord, I know people like this.
Everyone knows a guy like this in the college classroom who thinks he is God's gift to the world and will not shut up.
Yes.
Now, Sean thought that literally.
Yes, exactly.
So again, Reed says, and this made me laugh, when he started speaking, it would just kind of lower the temperature of the room.
Oof, and not in a good way.
No.
There was one really specific incident that stood out that is fucking hysterical. And this happened in 2007, so during a classroom discussion on feminism and the patriarchy that we live in, classic conversation topic in college, Sean Morris went on a rant about how the Bible says women should be subservient, and that he could, quote, beat up any woman.
So he says that as, like, a challenge, almost?
Yeah.
And everyone is understandably horrified in the class.
I would have struck first.
I would have decked him. And so people start saying, you know, shut up, you weedy little shithead.
Yeah.
And he amends his statement to say, 9 out of 10 women couldn't beat me up.
And Hallie, there is justice in the universe, because what did everyone start calling him?
9 out of 10, Sean.
I mean, come on!
That is just the worst nickname.
And just the reasoning behind it is so fucking crazy.
Oh god, I've never had a nickname like that that's tied to an incident.
So you did something so fucking humiliating to yourself.
No, honestly, I would rather have it be like, threw up on herself, girl, than 9 out of 10. again. So after he broke up with his girlfriend of nearly 2 years, a girlfriend, by the way, that he didn't kiss until they were 20 months into the relationship. Because Yeah, they were being very conservative. He was very, you know, berating her, making her be very submissive and
bible-y. I'm sure she was having a great time.
Yes, I didn't include her name in this.
Imagine being her roommate.
If I was the roommate, I would just be out in the front of the building, just like pouring vodka into the coffee thermos. Yeah. Being like, I do not pay $16,000 a year for this.
It'd be like living in a soap opera that you get to watch.
Yes, but like also it affects your day-to-day life. Yeah. Okay. So I didn't include the girlfriend's name in here, but she did end up breaking up with him because she was actually a social work major who was working, interning at the time, at a center for battered women.
And I'm sure Sean had some thoughts on that.
He definitely did. And she said, it was so stunning to me that I was dealing with these cases every day and it took me so long to realize I was in one.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, often the case. But luckily she got out of that situation.
Thank God. Good for her. Hope she's doing well.
Yep. And so they broke up and immediately Morris becomes even more into church now that he has no distractions.
Whew!
He becomes very close-knit with Jacob Gardner and Ryan Rignald. Gardner didn't go to school with them. He actually went to a nearby community college, and they met through the Antioch Church, which is a local group that was always trying to recruit Baylor University students. So it was nearby in Texas. We have heard that name thrown around some. I'm not entirely sure if we've mentioned it in a cult before, but it's definitely one of those churches that makes people's ears prick up.
Yes.
So after college in 2008...
So then they begin traveling the country, and they preach on the street, basically.
They do this for a while, at least a few months, up to a year. It gets a little fuzzy here. This is kind of their lost time because they were...
the Dark Ages.
Exactly, because they were sort of doing this nomadic thing where it was like Jack Kerouac-ing it.
Oh, fuck yes.
Girls can't Jack Kerouac.
No, that's true.
I feel like I've had this discussion. If not,
I would immediately be killed.
That's what we talk about. If On the Road was about a girl, it's like she hitchhikes for the first thing. She's immediately assaulted and or murdered.
Yes.
End of novel.
Yes, yes, yes.
I have so many issues with that book and with Kerouac. He was an alcoholic and a hack.
Okay. Tell us how you really feel, Hal.
I'm sorry I get upset about this. And just because he has a rhyming name doesn't make him God's gift to literature.
So during this time when they're out in the Dark Ages preaching, they actually start gathering a few dozen followers and they set up a church in Arlington, Texas. And I almost said Arlington, Virginia.
Well, that's the more known Arlington. So they set up this church in Arlington. At some point, Gardner becomes a church elder with them. I had a hard time pinning him down. Again, he wasn't in college with them, so I don't know if he graduated the same year or if by the time he graduated, they were already set up
in
Arlington.
Just like, yeah, come on, man. What are the three amigos? You know how it is. And you can't do it without me. I'm Gardner. I'm the loose cannon. Come on.
Oh, Jacob. Hey, we thought we lost you.
Are you sure you're not, like, thinking about grad school or anything?
I feel like that's what God's telling you to do.
I feel like that's God's path.
Nah, man.
So, 2013, they move the church to Wells, Texas. And this is a tiny town, like many of the other tiny towns who have been besieged by fucking cults in Texas.
792 people.
Yes. That is where the name the Church of Wells has sprung.
Again, none of these kids took creative writing.
No.
So they moved to Wells, and I just want to talk a little bit about their sort of doctrine as it exists today.
Yeah.
The church's main focus is on asceticism, which is basically denying everything in life that brings them comfort or happiness or is considered a luxury in any way.
Mm-hmm.
It again sort of ties in with the we need to suffer on earth to go to the kingdom of heaven.
I'm going
to
say saint, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong.
I'll do my best.
Saint Francis of Assisi. Ascetic?
He might have been. Actually, when we were growing up, they taught us that Saint Francis could levitate and talk to animals.
The Catholic Church teaches a lot of goddamn stuff, Hallie.
That's just what I remember.
I'm just asking if Saint Francis is a fucking ascetic.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
You were right. He was the self-flagellating one.
Yes. Definitely heard you say self-flatulating for a hot second there. Love being hard of hearing. It makes life so interesting.
It does. It makes the world a little bit more quirky.
So, yeah, I mean, asceticism is something that's practiced in a lot of the cults that we've covered.
It's also derived from philosophies like Stoicism, which was huge with Seneca and shit in Greece. And
I feel like minimalism today is kind of not in the same vein, because it's not so much self-punishment, but it's just kind of like the bare bones, just literally the bare bones.
Yes, which I think is something people curate more than actually happens. Like, I feel like, especially in the city, people are like, "This, look at this, like, plain black coffee table. It cost us $6,000.
Well, I didn't just mean that. I just meant, like, a minimalist lifestyle.
Yes, I know.
Is more of an aesthetic lifestyle than a non-minimalist lifestyle, I guess?
Yes, I get what you mean, yeah. But so that's their main thing, and it again sort of is like, put yourself through as much pain as possible. Everybody prays for at least several hours a day. They fast. They're not allowed any entertainment whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, there's no, like, TV or sitting around the radio with a cup of hot cocoa.
Cocoa's definitely off limits.
Oh, yeah.
And they do fast a lot. Everyone is constantly talking about how much they hate themselves, how much they hate their own sin, and how everyone else is going to hell if they don't give themselves to the church.
So fun times, great environment to be in, good vibes, love their parties.
Let's say that they threw the concept of parties. What would it even be like?
Here's some room temperature water. I hate you and myself. And also, if your mom doesn't convert, she's going to burn in hell for eternity.
Oh my God, you know what that sounds like? Those scary chain emails we used to send each other when we were kids.
I didn't do that. I love that.
Stassi was always incredibly sophisticated for our age. She was reading Harry Potter when we were in first grade by herself.
I was reading Harry Potter in kindergarten, I'll have you
know. Ooh la la.
So everyone's being fucking miserable, and that should give you an idea of what the church is. Now, Hallie, what's notably crazy about these people?
Let's talk about the people in their orbit whose lives they've ruined.
Oh, goody.
We have a couple of examples here. Let's talk about Baby Faith.
Okay. May 2012.
So this is before they moved to Wells.
Obama's right about to be reelected?
Yep.
Okay. Hallie, now you're young and innocent. But you know who else is young and innocent?
Ugh.
Baby Faith.
Poor baby. Literal baby. Faith, we could not find her last name. It's never been released to the public. She was a newborn baby in May 2012, and she died 3 days after she was born. She had an unspecified health complication after birth that sometimes happens. If you're born in a hospital, they usually detect it. They take steps to rectify it.
That's usually what hospitals are all about.
Those damn doctors with their medicine. She was born at home because it was something that was very big within this let's get back to fundamentalist
group. Of course. I mean, I suspected as much.
So she was very, very sick her whole short life. Her parents were followers, and Morris took the baby. Instead of taking her to the hospital, people prayed for 15 hours to save her. That did not work.
When will these goddamn fucking people who do shit like this every single time and it never works out and then they have to have fucking charges against them because of negligent homicide? Like, honestly, it's fucking has not happened. It's not going to happen. Just call 911. Frat boys. There is no shortage of stories of people just having a dead body and still praying that it'll be resurrected.
I blame Lazarus.
You know, he doesn't get enough fucking blame.
He really should. That stupid story is why shit like this happens. The Cherokee County Sheriff's Office of the area investigated the incident and investigated the church, but no charges were ever filed.
Shocking.
However, what it accomplished was making everyone in the area incredibly hostile and suspicious towards the church. This is compounded with the following year when the Church of Wells moved to Wells, and they subsequently crashed a homecoming parade that was happening.
Yeah, so it's like your local town parade. We've all been there, seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Low-key, children with ice cream kind of deal.
Parade floats and shit, and they just run into the street. They start yelling at people on floats. They start yelling at children.
Yes, fucking yelling at kids.
And what are they yelling?
You're going to hell!
They yelled this at someone's 4-year-old granddaughter, and she got into a physical confrontation.
Oh, the 4-year-old did? Understandable.
The grandma.
I would be better. That would be a great team.
Exactly, right there. I kind of want to follow them, see what happened there. And there was another great quote that I read that said, "They were standing in my yard yelling, you're going to hell, so I said, you're going to hell if you don't get off my lawn." Which is a very Texas thing to say.
I mean, honestly, if I don't get to say that to someone at some point in my life, I'll be a little disappointed.
Have you lived?
So let's talk about Catherine Grove.
Yes, so the town of Wells fucking hates these people at this point.
Yes, and I feel like if you've heard of the Church of Wells, you've heard of Catherine Grove.
Yes, she's sort of a notable part of their history now.
Yes. The year after the whole parade debacle.
Mm-hmm. 2014 we're at now.
Yes, yes, thank you. Patty and Andy Grove, a nice couple from...
Arkansas.
They arrive in Wells in search of their daughter, Catherine, who had run away and joined the cult, but she had, like, no contact with anyone. She had not told anyone. They had no idea she was going or why or anything like that.
Sonia Smith wrote this incredibly in-depth report about it for Texas Monthly. It's called Sinners in the Hands. Please read it. Catherine was the third of five or six kids.
Yes, I think the third of five.
Smack dab in the middle. And when she was in college, her sister died of leukemia. And it was really hard on the family. And she had previously been a competitive soccer player. And she had been in a Bible study after class, but like normal level involved in Bible study. And after her sister's death, she understandably became very withdrawn.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
I mean, that's hard to go through.
Absolutely. And then after that, she runs off and she joins this cult with... absolutely no warning.
Do we know how long after her sister died that she joined the cult?
Her sister died in December of 2010. She became incredibly rattled. She took some time off from school. She moved back home with her parents. And then in 2013, her behavior got more erratic. In her time off from school, been licensed as a nursing assistant. And she said things like, why go into nursing as a career when God's going to kill everybody anyway?
Fun.
So again, these are what we in the biz call warning signs.
Yeah, red flag there. I'm glad she didn't go into nursing. I don't want someone with that attitude working on me.
Isn't that just like a form of a serial killer?
Like a
nurse who just purposely kills everybody?
Yeah, yeah.
July 2nd of 2014, she gives all of her shit to Goodwill and she runs off without a word.
Okay. Lot to unpack there.
Mm-hmm. Those are signs of suicide.
Yeah, I was gonna say that giving all your shit away is definitely a sign of suicide. I mean, but also as someone who's just got like helped someone move out and like doing some serious spring cleaning, I've been nonstop giving my shit away. So mm-hmm. I get it.
Well, yes, if it was an isolated incident, it might not be anything, but compounded with everything else that she's going through.
True, true. I don't have the erratic behavior as such.
Yeah. So obviously her parents were understandably concerned. They pack some of her siblings up into the car. They drive from Arkansas to Texas and they start looking for her at this church.
Once they arrive there, they're actually blocked by members of the church mm-hmm. of Wells. And they finally get to speak with Catherine. There's like video footage of her online. You can watch her beautiful testimony video.
We watched it.
The dude, which guy was it?
Sean Morris.
He
Mr. 9 out of 10 himself.
9 out of 10 prefaces it with, she's not eloquent. He says that about like 30 times.
You're not eloquent if you only know the word eloquent and not any synonyms, Sean.
He spends like 8 minutes of this fucking intro just like kind of shitting on her a little bit.
Oh, and this intro goes on forever. Stassi was like scrubbing through the video.
Yeah.
Trying to get to the part where she actually spoke. It took like
anyway
3/4 of the video.
So she, this young woman finally meets her family face to face and says, Mom and Dad, I can't listen to you anymore. I have to keep my hands over my ears and I can only listen to my elders.
So her parents sort of talk to Ringo, our buddy there, for a couple hours trying to like work this out. She barely talks, Catherine. She always looks to him for like what they're supposed to say. The parents...
another red flag.
Yes. The parents drive off. Within the next few days, they talk a few more times. They have this marathon 15-hour session.
Wow.
With some other members of the church
too
trying...
too long to spend that amount of time with anyone.
Especially Sean Morris and his flunkies.
9 out of 10.
9 out of 10,
that's
Sean.
That's all we're gonna call him now.
You earn a nickname like that, you best believe we're gonna call you that. They eventually sort of have to back off because she is in her early 30s at this point. She's just not, she doesn't want to leave.
There was like this one point. So she's with the church. Something happens. We don't know what happened, but something happens. She decides to leave. She's in the video. She talks about how she's like kind of not in a good mental place and she gets into an argument with her fiance.
She's referring to an incident that happened a little bit before. This was, I think, about 2015 we're at now. She calls 911 and she asks somebody to pick her up. She's kind of outside of the group on the road.
Yeah, she was just like walking up and down the street.
Yeah.
Some people like tried to help her and she ignored them. And then others were like, do you need to use our phone? And that's how she called 911.
And so she says she needs to be taken to a shelter, like mm-hmm. a women's shelter. And she won't say why. The police try to talk to her. They're like, are you in danger? Nothing. Won't yeah. say anything, won't implicate anyone, won't mention any names.
They didn't bring her back to the church because she didn't ask to be brought back.
Yeah.
So eventually, from this, she goes home to be with her family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that lasts for about 2 weeks.
Then she is right back to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And again, she's an adult, nobody can do anything about it.
Yes.
If you watch this video, was made after this incident.
Yes.
Sean goes on his tirade. He's like, we didn't force her to be here.
All the slander and the propaganda and the gossip.
Fake news.
I can fight women.
The way she talks, one, reminds me of when you watch on the news somebody has been taken hostage in Lebanon.
Yeah, it's very, like, PTSD-esque.
She also takes incredibly long pauses between each word.
She can't think of a sentence. It's not formulated for her.
It reminded me a little bit of when I called my parents' house to say hi and my brother had just gotten a concussion in football and they put me on the phone with him because they were trying to keep him awake.
And your parents warned you for 8 minutes that he was not eloquent.
Yeah, basically. And the kid could not finish his sentence. I'd yeah. be like, hi, Drew. And he'd be like, yeah.
Yeah,
like that's what baby. He's fine now. He's,
I know
he recovered, but that's what she reminded me of. She reminded me of someone who like suffered brain damage or at yeah, least psychological
I was
trauma.
Say, she reminded me a lot of two of my female cousins who are raised in the super conservative Catholic household, who I've spoken with you about many times,
many many times.
But just that sort of like shell shocked. Looking to someone else to give you the answers, mm-hmm. so unsure of yourself. She's like, I wasn't speaking what I speak. Like, just really fucking weird. I mean, I know I'm not the world's best speaker, but
we talk better than that.
Yes.
We talk best, we talk more better. Now I'm all up in my head.
I know. So it's an unsettling video, that's for sure.
And she's still there, and it's just who knows how many of these people are in the same sort of condition she is.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess where are they now? They did an episode of Doctor Who. I was a Doctor Who? Yeah, that would have been a weird one.
Yeah. Doctor Who infiltrates a cult.
And no one's an alien, they're just dicks.
Yeah.
They did an episode of Dr. Phil on this. Carla in our Facebook group mentioned it. On the episode, they talk
Shout
about...
Shout out to Carla.
Yeah.
Damn.
She got me real into this. They withhold food and the fasting for 40 days at a time, which is based in Lent. I can just tell you from my own experience, because in the Bible, Jesus goes to the desert, he fasts for 40 days and like fights the devil, basically.
Yes.
There's often personification of it, like in children's Bibles, they actually look like they're about to like punch each other. And I'm like, this is a very weird way to explain this to children.
Yeah, I feel like Bibles should not be illustrated. Religious texts are best left to just that, just texts. Making it for the kids, it always just gets a little weird.
And so the whole point is that Jesus fasts for 40 days, 40 nights, and that's why we have Lent where we give up something we like. But
yes.
Human beings cannot go 40 days and 40 nights without eating anything or drinking anything, you will straight up die. You are a living organism.
Yes.
So when
not for long.
Yeah, so when people do fasting, now they either have to severely limit the days that they do it, or you do it so it's like you only fast when the sun is up and then you eat at night, or you
I've
just give
that
up
fasting
meat.
Fasting's like pretty good for you.
For short periods of time, yes.
Yeah.
And then there's all sorts of like exemptions in a lot of religions for like children under 10 or like the elderly or people who are pregnant. My point is there's lots of ways to legitimately fast, but the way that they do it, they just die.
Yeah.
So that's part of the where are they now. There's still a cult to watch, I guess.
Yes.
They're rising up. They have been put on a few watchdog
lists.
Yeah. Just as like, this may just be a weird, like, overzealous church, but also something's wrong.
If you want to know how Catherine's doing, she has a lovely quote that Hallie can read to us.
If you want to talk with Catherine, she's dead. I've been crucified with Christ. I love when people talk about themselves in the third person. It's really settling. Like, if I was like, hey, Stassi, how are you? And you said, she's fine. I'd be like, okay, that's great, buddy. I'm going to walk out.
I'm leaving.
I'm going to do something totally normal, not call any sort of mental health professional. They have about 70 members now. They're still located in Wells, Texas.
It's all, like, 20-somethings and
their kids. So it is the millennial cult for the hip, cool cult members of today.
Who want to dress conservatively and starve and hate themselves.
Which is pretty millennial.
Yeah.
Just one more thing. Patty Grove, Catherine's mom, said when they arrived in Wells, they said, I'm looking for a church. They were immediately cut off by a resident and said, oh, you mean the cult. And she pointed them down the street.
Yeah, I mean, if that doesn't kind of tell you everything you need to know, I don't know what does.
Okay, I think we're done. Any recommendations?
Dear White People is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The Joe Mandy special on Netflix is amazing, as is the Hari Kondabolu one.
Mm-hmm.
Deep, deep spring cleaning. Just completely taking apart your house and cleaning it and putting it back together again is fun. I'm wearing a summer dress.
You are. It's very cute.
So that's all. Thank you for that compliment.
My recommendations are to double down on the cleaning. My roommates did this really special thing where they didn't clean up anything and left me to do it all. But I'm really good at it because most of my jobs, for some reason, have involved quite a bit of janitorial work.
Sure.
So I'm really good at wiping stuff down and putting shit in trash bags.
You fucking thought you won.
Exactly.
But Hallie beat ya.
I would also like to recommend on Netflix the documentary Mercury 13.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I have kind of an interest in space. Mercury 13 follows the 13 women who were picked in the 1950s and 60s to be trained to be astronauts for NASA.
But Hallie, they have vaginas. How could that work?
That's basically what happened, is they put them through all this insane testing that they never put the men through. They gave them, like, enemas every morning. They They would shoot ice water into their necks, things like that.
What the fuck?
These women were incredible.
This sounds like torture.
It was awful. They trained them the same as they trained like Alan Shepard, Gus Grissom, and everything. And then they canceled the program. And they said, we are not interested in female astronauts at this time.
Whoa.
And I would like to point out that Valentina Threshnikova, I believe I said that correctly.
Sexy name.
She was the first woman in space. She was Russian. She went up in 1963. And Sally Ride was the first American woman in space, third woman overall, and she went up in 1983. So it took us 20 extra years to allow women to go to space, Even though we are lighter, which means you can add more to the payload. Mm-hmm. And these women just worked so hard, and they were these cool pilots, and they just got shut down. And it's such an amazing documentary. I cried pretty much from minute one.
Okay, I believe that.
You know me, yeah. Hallie cried about something space related, so the presses.
Alrighty.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this project with you, Stassi.
Hallie, me too. I feel like we've gotten so close over the course of a year and a half.
Yes, because we were strangers before.
Oh, wait, because I didn't know the first goddamn thing about you before this. And absolutely. Now I know everything.
Stacy, is it? It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, George.
Fuck you. Goodbye, guys, until we meet again.
Be safe, have fun, do your thing, be kind.
Be excellent to each other. Let's close out with that Michelle McNamara quote. It's chaos, be kind.
Beautiful.